Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is now the 8:30 hour, time that we have set aside to go to God, to study the Word of God, a time when we come together in fellowship, the body of Christ, partakers in the household of faith. And tonight, God has allowed us to assemble together one more time. And for that, I'm grateful. I want to thank God for allowing me to be able to go before his people on Wednesday night. And I thank each and every one of you that took time out of your busy schedule to come and join us as we explore the Word of God together. It's always a privilege and an honor to be with you guys on Wednesday night at the 8:30 hour. And I just want you to know that God is still in control. Nothing happens unless God orchestrated or allows it. And for that, we say thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, we say thank you. And at this time, I'm going to say the title of the lesson, and then in the scripture, and then we're going to play a song. The title of our lesson tonight is Get Out of the Way and Let God Do His Work. Get out of the way and let God do his work. We're coming from the book of Philippians, the second chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse. You know, we have to really realize that God has a master plan. And God has an intended purpose for all of our lives. And he's working it out for us. And sometimes we just have to get out the way and let God do his work. Philippians, the second chapter, the 13th through the 15th verse. And at this time, I'm going to play a song that piggybacks off of our title tonight. And the title of the song is Let Go.
On my mind, searching for that peace, but the peace I could not find. So then I kneeled down to pray, praying, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I'm done worrying,
soon as I stop worrying,
worrying how the worry is,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things
start happening. When I stop looking at back then,
when I let go,
I let go,
when I let God,
let God,
let him have,
let God have.
So much going on, sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in the head,
let
have his way back
when things
let God let go, and let God let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God, oh, let go, and let God let go, and let God, oh, let go, and let God. He's the only one with the answer. Just let God. He can handle it all. Yes, he can. Let God. With tears in your eyes. Just let God. He feels your pain. And he knows your heart. He knows your issues. He knows your struggles.
And the song is asking us to please let go and let God. There's many things in our lives that God has in control. But we step in, lean into our own understanding and doing what seems right in our eyes, and we get in the way. Sometimes God cannot even move in our behalf because we have our hands on the situation. We have to really understand, and we begin to let go and let God. We could see a change come because God is in control. God has an intended purpose. God has a master plan. God has a will for your life. But we got to let him have his way. And at this time, it's time for us to pray. If there's anyone on the line who would like to pray at this time, you could press the one button. God is affording the opportunity for all of us, or either any one of us, to go forth in the mighty name of Jesus to his throne of grace where mercy could be found in prayer. Anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button. Well, dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, God, I just want to take time right now to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us to join together one more time to fellowship one with another, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. God, you have ordained this and you have established this where you have given us a forum where we could come together, explore the word of God and pray for one another and pray for ourselves and even lead in prayer and ask questions and just receive what God has to say to us through his word. God, and I thank you for this. I thank you for everyone that calls in on the line. I thank you for the one that have a desire, the ones who maybe forgot, the ones that may be busy. Lord, I'm asking special blessing upon everybody, everyone out here, dear God, everyone that call, everyone partaking in this Bible study, dear God. And I pray your word don't return void. I pray that the Holy Spirit give illumination and revelation to what the word of God is saying. I pray that the Holy Spirit use me, Lord, use me as a vessel for service, dear God, and let the Holy Ghost speak through me for his people. Because, God, you know one needs one thing. One is looking for another thing. But, Lord, let the words that flow out of my mouth directed by the Holy Ghost touch the ears of the people and they get illuminated and revelated by the word of God. God, this is my prayer. And I'm thanking you in advance for what's going to happen on this Bible study tonight. I thank you, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And I see that Minister Elyria Mackey had pressed the one button, and I'm so grateful. And if I'm not going to even open her mic, because she's going to say, since I went forth, she'll take the ending prayer. You know, it's good. Just like I know some people. That's how God knows all of us. And I'm more than sure that's what she was saying, because she has said it so many times in the past. And Minister Elyria Mackey, I thank you. I thank you for answering the call and being faithful. And I will open your mic at the end, and you can lead us out with a prayer. And again, I say thank you. At this time, we're going to do a little bit of introduction, and we end the book of Philippians. When I do the Bible study, I expound on the scriptures, but it's a Bible study, so I'll be trying to give you guys tools and information that can give you enlightenment of different things in the Bible that will give you a clearer understanding, and you could see the hand of God. Why he put the book of Philippians in the Bible? Why did he instructed the writer to write it? Well, the writer of the book of Philippians is Paul, the Apostle Paul. And the Philippians are the people, were the people that lived in Philippi. Philippi was the place, and the people was Philippians. And Paul wrote this epistle. It is also called a letter to the people in Philippi who were called the Philippians. You have to know how it all got started. You know, Jesus told Peter in the book that upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is our evidence that God did establish the church. For many who believe, it's not necessary to go to the house of the Lord. God wanted a place for his people to fellowship. And just like back then, and just like it is now, every church is not operating the way that God would want it. But I believe, now I say it, I believe that God will let you go to a place, and he will not let you come out void, because he's going to have something there for you that you could use in your daily walk. That's why there's so many churches. You know, God knew one church wasn't going to be satisfying to everybody's appetite. That's why they have different denominations, which God is not about denomination or religion, because all of us who believe in Christ Jesus are Christians. The established church decided to have religions and denominations, but God is still in control. So you see, on the day of Pentecost, when the church was established, the day of Pentecost was a day where all of the Jews who was God's chosen children had to come to Jerusalem for to celebrate the Passover. The day of Pentecost. God, it was amazing how God used different festivals and events and census for to get the people to come back. It was mandatory. It was commanded of them. They had a covenant to come back on these certain days. And you can really see every time God had them, and maybe not every time, but some of the momentous things that happened, God did it at a time when everybody was present. You see, the Jews were scattered all around because they had been in bondage for so many years. They was in captivities with the Babylonians. They was in captivity with the Assyrians. They was in captivities with the Palestinians. They was in captivity over and over and over, and even in captivity by the Romans. And the people scattered, the Jews scattered in different parts of the world. But on certain days, they had to come. That's why Mary and Joseph was going to Jerusalem, because they had to go to pay their tax. God allowed Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. But the point I'm trying to make is, we're giving that little history. When they were in Jerusalem, and on the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Ghost, Jesus had already left, and Jesus had told his disciples, when I leave, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, the Holy Ghost is going to come and be with you, and the Holy Ghost is going to do everything for you that I would have done if I was with you. So the Holy Ghost got loose on the day of Pentecost. Many people were saved. Thousands of people were saved instantly. Now remember, these people lived in all different parts of the world. So the people that was from Philippi who had went and joined in the day of Pentecost, celebration days was over. They went home. The gift that they had received, they went home and they wanted to continue what they had seen and what they heard. So they established the church in Philippi. And the people are the Philippians. Now, Paul would go around to the different churches, or some churches he established. And if they had any discussions, any errors that they were dealing with, Paul would write these letters. Now, I told you how Philippi got, the Philippians, the church in Philippi got started. But that's the way the church in Thessalonica got started, the church in Galatia got started. All of those letters that Paul wrote, the churches was established. And they were either doing really well, some was doing really horrible, and some of them was lukewarm. So when you read the epistles of Paul, the 13 letters of Paul, he was writing to a church that was established after them hearing the gospel on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. So I hope that helped you to just understand. And Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, and it was really like a love letter. It was a joy letter, because Paul, God, often was placed in prison, beaten, and everything like that. And many times he couldn't stay in one place to, you know, really get his income and livelihood together. But the church in Philippians was a church that continuously, you know, sent him support. And he's thanking them for it. So this letter is called a love letter, and it's a joy letter, because a lot of letters is rebuking because the errors of their ways and the things that they're doing. But this letter is the book of Philippians. The people who live in Philippi were called the Philippians, and the church that was established was the church in Philippi. So I just did that for a little background. And then when you read some of the other, in Thessalonians, Galatians, Ephesians, there was places that they went back and started the church. Praise be to God. God got a way of making things happen. He gave them enough. They didn't have Bibles to go home and teach with like we do. But they heard the gospel. So many times as they was teaching, it wasn't quite, they might have said what they heard, but they might have not had clarification. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15 that you have to study to show yourself approved, a workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. You see, we'll never get it all. And that's why studying the word of God is not a destination, it's a journey. And we're going to be studying and learning, and God is going to be revealing unto us until Jesus come back again. Paul, in one of his letters, and he was the smartest tool in the shed. Paul himself said, I never, all that he knew, wrote 13 books in the Bible. And he said, I do not believe that I have apprehended. In other words, he was saying, I ain't got it all together, and I don't know all things, so I have to keep pressing. Paul said this to y'all. I have to press towards the mark of the high calling, which is Christ Jesus. See, Paul knew it would be ever learning. And it was just wonderful and a beautiful thing. And I thank God for the writer of the Gospels, Paul. I thank God that he used Paul and he's using each and every one of us to spread the good news of the gospel. So our lesson is coming now from Philippians, and I'm in the second chapter. I pray that you have your Bibles, and if you do, you turn to the page of Philippians, which is in the New Testament. If you get to Philippians, you go to the second chapter, and if you're in the second chapter, go down to the 12th verse. And the scripture reads as follows. Therefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Now, you see, Paul started off by telling them, you know, and that's what happened in the churches today. Whenever the preacher around, everybody holy. Come on, y'all. You know, some people have all kind of things in their house and do all kind of things in any kind of way. But Paul is telling them to do good even when I'm not around. He said, because you got to work out your own salvation. He comes back and say that because you got to work out your own salvation. So that lets us know that the way we act, the way we act and the way we present ourselves is what is meant by working out your own salvation. Salvation was given to us as a gift from God. Yes. But salvation is not just for an eternity on the other side. God is giving us salvation daily. For what? We see it in verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. God giving us salvation here on earth. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us so that we can work our own salvation out that will be pleasing for God. And he said, but it is him that give us the will to do it. And to do, that means give us the ability, the gift, the resources, the time to do it. So when we look at this, and if we go back to Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, God knows the thought that he has towards you, thoughts of evil, good, I'm sorry, and not evil. You see, God has a purpose for us, each and every one of us. He has work for us to do in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the earthly realm of heaven down on earth for God's people. Halavashanda. You see, God is operating in our lives for us to lead us, guide us to perform what he would have for us to do. Now watch this. You see, God is not selfish to get us to be like puppets. God knows your end, but he also knew your beginning. God knew you before the foundation of the world. He knew you when you was in your mother's womb. And he's going to know you in eternity. So God is working things out together when they say that. God say he's working things out together to get you to the established purpose where he know your success lies. How you look at some people and you say, golly, they got it all together. Everything they touch turn to gold. They fall down, but they get up. And my lesson tonight say we have to get out of the way and let God do his work. Paul is saying that God is doing the work in us. And he's telling us we got work to do by working out our own salvation. And that's what the scripture is talking about. So Paul gave us an example in one of his other books, and he said what God is doing, working it out together for our good. What is God doing? I come to tell you tonight that God is sanctifying us here on earth, and sanctification is a process. You see, when sanctification, once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, God began to clean us up, fix us up, circumcise our heart, lead us, guide us, protect us, rescue us. He'll never leave us, nor forsake. He's doing all of these wonderful things for us. Hallelujah, y'all. But it's a process, and the process is called sanctification. And I want you to know that sanctification happens in three parts. And sanctification, well, three phases, or you could say three parts. And sanctification process has a past. It has a right now, which is the present. And it has future. So the sanctification process began when you accept Christ. So since God's been working in you with the sanctification process, and you know he gave you the Holy Spirit, let's look at that a little while. So when we look at the sanctification process, hallelujah, you see, the past was when we was wilding in sin. Jesus took us in, and the sanctification process began. It's when we first believed. And we were forgiven of all of our sin, our dirt, we were forgiven. We was made new. Hallelujah. And God set us apart for his work here on earth. See, forgiveness means being set apart. Redemption being redeemed from the penalty of sin, which was death. Come on, y'all. God did all of that, but it was the work of God. You didn't save yourself. You didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. And God began the work in you. And there's a scripture in Philippians that said, be confident of this thing, that the work that God began in you, he's able to complete it until Jesus comes. So that should give us rest right there. That should be enough for us to be all right. But that's what's happening with us right now. You see, we're in position when we first believe to receive all that God has for his people. You know how they do on a job or the world, do seniority. You've been here long, you get more perks. You know, you've been on a job longer. It is entitlement to some things. That's not the way that God works. Once you believe, you're entitled to all of the blessings that God has for his people. But you got to put in the work to receive it. But everything that God has in store for us was given to us. And we can't believe it because we won't work to achieve it. But it's there for the asking. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, we have to study and we have to pray. And that's what helps to sanctify us daily. So, yes, we are in a sanctification process. And we should sanctify ourselves daily through prayer and supplication and studying and loving on one another. And we should be growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Now, that was the positional. The part that we living in now is called the present. And I talked a little bit about the present when I came right out of the positional, when we got in positional. Now we in the present, and that's what we have to do. That's our job. You see, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And God is preparing us by sanctifying us daily. God is sanctifying us. Excuse y'all. I have an emergency call. the present. And the present is going to operate. The sanctification process in this present is when we study and pray and God molds and shape us and lead us and guide us and bless us and deliver us from our evil and do all these things. But the process we in now, the present process of sanctification, when God is doing these things with us and through us, and I want you to know we're going to be in the sanctification process of this present time. Because you see, the past is gone. We accepted it. We got engrafted in. We was adopted. We saved. We got all of the privilege. Then we start being sanctified daily. And that's a part we have to play. The first one God did. Now we have to study and be kind to one another and use the word of God to be our moral compass for our daily living. And it's all of that that's happening right now. And it's going to happen until Jesus come back, till you die, or Jesus come back in a rapture. And then there's the future sanctification. And the future sanctification is when it's all going to be complete. And it's called complete sanctification. You see, the future sanctification begin at the death or the rapture of God. God's work is completed when our spirit is united with Jesus. You must know that God's salvation includes rescue, renewal, restoration for us now, not just for eternity. Some people never looked at salvation as anything but something we will receive, not as something that's working in our lives right now, every day, by the hands of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and the blood of Jesus. You know, we have to display Christian character because the scripture said we should do it with fear and trembling. I want you to know that when they say fear God, it's not to be shaken in your boots. To fear God is to give him reverence, respect, honor, and glory, everything that is rightfully due him. Fear not to disrespect him, to disobey him. Come on, y'all. To blaspheme against him. That's the fear. When you get the fear of God in your heart, you will not offend God. Yeah, you might slip and fall and you might sin, but you're not going to blatantly just go and curse the name of God or get an idol God and want to operate with it, these things. So that's the fear of God, showing reverence unto God. Hallelujah. And then when he say with trembling, and I really studied that to see what he was saying. You know, I don't know if it happened to you, but it happens to me many times. Till I wonder, God, if I'm doing everything that is pleasing in your sight. God, am I pleasing you by the way I do the things? Some things you know you just shouldn't do. But sometimes you're trying and you put a little bit of your own thinking in it. That's why I say it. You got to get out the way and allow God to do his work. You know, some people sometimes tell a lie because they believe they're making the situation better. Or that was just a little white lie. And then there's got some people who believe to keep the peace is to always take the back corner. But I want to tell you tonight, ain't nobody having peace but those people, because you took the back corner. I could guarantee you, most of the time, you do not have any peace. And we have the audacity to believe that we have accomplished something. Oh, I keep the peace. You can't keep the peace. Peace has to be established between two parties. And what you're doing, if it's not really what they want, there still ain't no peace. And if you do everything that they want, I guarantee you, you won't have no peace. So different things like that, we come up with in our own mind, but we got to get out the way and let God do his work in our lives. God is in control, and God knows what he wants to do, how he want to do it, when he want to do it, and why he want to do it for you. If you really look back over your life and think things over, you could see how God got you out of one jam, out of another jam, out of another jam, out of another jam, if you want to let the truth be told. So that means he has given you enough evidence to let you know how he's working on your behalf. And the work that he's putting into you is for his glory. And then when you do what is right, you could really be called a child of God, and people could see evidence of God working in you. They say, let your light so shine that men may see the works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. God gets glory out of you representing him as a child of God. And God is doing the work, y'all. And if we look at verse 14, it say, do all things without murmuring and disputing. 14, Philippians 2 and 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. And Philippians 2 and 15 says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. See, God gets the glory when you shine. That lets people know who your Father is. Do you live life every day doing it the way you do it and nobody know who you belong to? Is there no evidence in your life where people could say different things about you? Because habits is forming. You know, I hear a lot of people tell me on the line their family know at 8:30 on Wednesday night not to call them because they know they're going to be in study. And we have a prayer line in the daytime where people say it because they didn't did it enough, that they, you know, family know not to call them between 9 and 10, 12 and 1, and 6 and 7, because you have established it. You know, habits is forming, and many times people think about bad habits, but it's good to form good habits. The Bible says to make your light so shine that men could see the works and glorify God. God get glory when you shine for him. The scripture said, don't be walking around mumbling and grumbling and complaining all the time. He said, that's what the heathens do. That's what the people who aren't saved do. That's what the Gentiles did back then. He said, but you have a heavenly Father that is working with you, that's holding you in your hand, that's protecting you, has given you evidence. Why are you grumbling all the time? Some people, you go to talk to them, and all they talk about what it ain't, what it should be, why this and why that. And I ain't talking about the people in the street. You go to church, well, the pastor ought to do it this way. The pastor should say this. The deacon should do this. All them sidelines. That's like when I look at men who look at football and they make a play on the football field and they got all of the information about the play. Now they sitting on a sofa in their house and they could talk about all of the plays which should have been. But there is a different view when you on the field, when the pressure is on you, when you have to make a decision. Those sitting on the sofa has saw what has happened, and they could comment about it. And that's the way it is with many walks of life. And that was just an example. That's not mumbling and grumbling, but I'm using it to say when people sometimes, well, they're mumbling and grumbling with it too, because we need another coach. We need another quarterback. We need this, and they need a change, you know, and things like that. But many times we do that in the body of Christ. They talk about the sisters and brothers in Christ. Did you see what she had on? Did you see what she did? Anyway, Paul said, leave that alone, y'all. Stop worrying about the wrong things so the right things can penetrate your heart. You remember that it is God working in you to will and to do his pleasure. It's not your work. Trust God to move on your behalf no matter what state you're in. I often tell people that come to me to study, especially older people, they say, Sister Diane, I'm so sorry, and I can't believe that I don't know more than I know now. You know, I'm whatever age, and I should be further along in my Christian walk because I've been in church all my life, but I never studied the word or understood the word as I'm doing it now. But I tell each and every one of them, where you are is where you are. But where you are don't mean that's where you have to stay. If you're trying to get to a place in God, how fast and how far you go, it depends on you. You got to work out your own salvation, which includes growing in grace and then receiving the knowledge of God and putting the word of God into action and not being just a hearer of the word, but becoming a doer of the word. Halavashanda. It depends on you. Don't act like the unsaved complaining. And I could tell this little message to the Christians. Please don't go talk to unsaved people about the house of God, because they're going to only use it as ammunition to say why they believe it doesn't make sense to go. All I can say is this, and I never tell people, because people will let you know, and it is true. You don't have to go to church to be saved. True. But I tell you, you could go to church and have and hear something that'll help save you. So going to church does not save us. But I know God established the church because it's in the word of God. And everybody has the choice, like everybody has the choice to do whatever they want. And I never signed up to be a church bully. But just take the word of God at the word of God. If he said it, he had a reason and a purpose. You see, God is always doing his part. And we should learn how to be loving and peaceful and patient with one another. And this is a flash bulletin I want to give you. We have to learn how to be patient and love on ourselves. I said when the songwriter, I think, said, we got to stop worrying about our past sins. We got to stop saying, if I coulda, woulda, shoulda. Every parent could see now, especially when their children grown, things they coulda did different. But you were where you were when you did it. It don't, you know, and then you just got to press and keep going. It's just the way it is, and children didn't come with instructions. That's why we most of us, well, most of the elderly people is dynamic grandparents. They done lived more. They done learned more. They're a little more patient. They don't have to pass fast pace trying to, you know, go to work. We're more laid back, so we embrace the relationship with the grandkids a little calmer. And we were talking about let your light so shine, and I want to let you know this. Don't let your light be clouded or dimmed by complaining and murmuring, because that's what you do. Sometimes people who complain all the time, soon people could see them coming, they'd go the other way. So don't let your life be dimmed by always complaining, always bringing up the same stuff, always talking about the same, you know? And please don't let someone else make your light go out. And watch out for Satan, because he's in line to steal your joy. Hallelujah. So that's the gist of the lesson tonight. You know, when people see you, do you represent God or do you represent the world? And if you're mixing them together, many people try to mix the flesh with the spirit. The Bible said we can't serve two masters, because either we will love one and we'll hate the other. And God said he's a jealous God, and he not going to share, because he shouldn't have to. We know that the devil is full of evil and hatred and causing havoc. So if you take the devil and you take God and put them next to each other, and the Bible always tells us, choose me, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Why would there be any competition? But it's amazing that it is. But God say, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You can't serve God and mammon. And we got to stop mixing the spirit with the flesh, compromising our spirit whenever it's convenient. God's greatest blessing is a gift of salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of his only begotten Son. And once we realize this, we can and should be a light in a depraved generation. All of us know the word of God, the will of God. With all of this going on in the world, do your light shine? Do you have influence on anybody? And remember, that's the greatest commandment that Jesus left with us, to go ye therefore into all nation and preaching and teaching the word of God, sharing the gospel of God with someone else. That's just the Bible, y'all. And, you know, we was really created to transform the world. God chose a holy nation, and he figured that he would love on them and they would love on him, and the other nations would see what they were working with and they would want some of him. But the people, instead of being transformed by God, they joined in with the other nations. So instead of them transforming and calling the nations in, the nations pulled them out. So we have to let the word of God, like I say, let God do his work and get out the way. And Jesus will fix it for us, not sometime, every time. Get out the way. Stop bringing your burdens to the Lord, laying them on the altar and going back and get them. Get out the way and let God take your grown children. Hallelujah. Pray for them and turn it over to God, because we can't make them do anything. Because if we could make them do anything and we had them all their life, we wouldn't be where we are with them now. And they grown. Take it to God and leave it there. Whatever it is in your life, get out of the way and let God do his work. Because God working in and through us is where our success lies. Our peace, our joy, our long suffering, our faith. Because you see, when we got strong faith, faith cancels our fears. See all of them fearful moments you have when something happens and you start shaking? Faith cancels out fear. So I encourage each and every one of you, my sisters and brothers, on tonight to get out the way and let God do his work. that he formulated in his master plan before the foundation of the world. And he's working it out together for our good daily as he sanctifies us. And some of the things he do for us is he's holding back the punishment and the weapons that form against us. They won't prosper. And for that, we are grateful. Let God have his way, y'all. That's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns, you could press the one button, and I'll open the mic. Nobody have a question. Nobody have a comment. Nobody would like to say anything. Well, since no one has anything to say, and Sister Mackie is on the line. Sister Mackie, I've opened your mic, and you could come to us any way you would like. You could have this time because I saved time tonight because, you know, I thought people may wanted to ask questions because this is Bible study. So, you know, I stopped a little early, and now I'm turning it over to you. Come any way you want.
Okay. I just encourage the believers to keep pressing toward the mark for the prize, because God is worthy of our praise. No matter what we go through, he's worthy of the praise. His word declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he know how to deliver us out of them whole. And each day and every day, God is working on our behalf. And for that, we are so grateful. And God, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have done in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing in this present time, oh God. And God, we thank you advance for what you're going to do, oh God. God, we know that your word declares that you add to the church daily such as to be saved. And God, we pray for our nation, oh God. We pray for our young men and young women, oh God. We pray for our youth, Lord, that you will touch their minds and their very hearts, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we come rebuking the devourer on the behalf of our young people. God, I ask that you would touch their mind, Lord, with the road rage situations, oh God, with the drive-by shootings, oh God. I ask that you would touch their very hearts, oh God, that you would give them a heart of flesh, Lord, and tear down and break down the fallow ground in their lives, Lord. God, I realize, and we all realize, that we're living in perilous times. But God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And your word declares us according to the power that worketh in us. And you call those things that be not as though they were. And God, you said in James, if we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, that we may be healed, knowing that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God, I ask that you would touch everyone that's on our list, oh God, that you would meet every need, oh God. God, I pray for those that need jobs, Lord God, that you would open doors that no man can open and close doors that no man can close, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we just reverence you. We just magnify you and glorify you because you're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the honor. You're worthy of the glory. And God, when we come together to hear a word from you, knowing that your word will go out and it will not return back void, but it will accomplish everything it was set forth to do. And God, we thank you for your words. God, we pray for Minister Diane on tonight, Lord God, for increase on the inner man. God, we do know that these outer vessels is all perishing, but our inward man is renewed day by day and is renewed by your word, because you said faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God, I ask that you would touch everyone that called in, oh God, on the airwaves, oh God, those that are on computers, Lord God, I ask that you would meet every need in the mighty name of Jesus, God, because your word said it is in you that we live and move and have our very being. And we thank you. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are truly covered in the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Amen, 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 amen. I thank you so much, Minister Mackey. I thank you for always being ready. The Bible teaches us that we should always be ready. We shouldn't have to get ready. We should be ready. We say we belong to God. We've been following God for a long time. We've been studying and we've been praying. We need to be ready. The Bible says we have to be ready when Jesus comes. But until he come on earth, we got to be ready to lift up the name of Jesus at all costs. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And it is my desire and my prayer that each and every one of you, God, what he have for you to do. And listen to what he has to say, because everybody has something to do. The scriptures say the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers is few. God wants to use each and every one of us for his glory. He wants to use each and every one of us in the kingdom of God here on earth to do kingdom building. There's a job for all of us. There's something for all of us to do. And if that's it for tonight, if anybody would like to say anything at this time, there's still time, and I'll open your mic. And if no one has anything to say at this time, I would tell you guys that God loves you, and so do I. And a part of the sanctification process is us doing the work of growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ now and forevermore. And that's our Bible study for tonight at the 8:30 hour. Words of wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. So until next week, I pray that each and every one of you go in peace and that your joy remains, that your love is solid, that your hope has the assurance given by Jesus Christ. So to everyone, I say good night, and God be with you until we meet again.